Welcome back to Poking Holes in Blinders. I'm Colin Fallenweider, and with me as always is Dr. Brian Height. This is a special delivery discussion. At the end of the last episode, Brian dropped a bomb on whether we have free will or not.
Which we don't. We don't have free will.
No, we do. We do.
I really don't think we do. When I say free will, what I mean is that we believe that in the past, when we made a choice, that if we were to go back in time to that very moment, that we could have chosen other than we did. And I'm saying that we could not have chosen other than we did in that particular moment. But you know what? It's an awesome discussion. You guys listen to it, draw your own conclusions. Would love to hear from you on what your thoughts are.
The following is the discussion that happened after we finished recording episode 3. And here we go. I have not followed any research on a deterministic universe or the concept of free will, but I would just say that intuitively, it's a way of skirting responsibility for our actions. And maybe that's a better way of looking at people's behavior, but I don't want to be a rock in a river where it just gets pushed around by the current. I'd rather be a fish where you're still affected by the current or the depth of the water or the speed of the current or the rocks around, things you get pushed into. But I acknowledge that I'm part of the river, but I don't want to be conceptually just a rock. I want to at least have some choices. With choices, there should be some responsibility with those choices. And if we just say, no, no one's really responsible.
No, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that people shouldn't be responsible. If you kill somebody or you hurt somebody or you steal something or you do something that harms other people, then there are consequences that should go along with that. The intent of those consequences should be such that it helps shape that individual in a way that minimizes the likelihood of that same behavior occurring in the future. That's what I'm saying.
If you say we don't have free will and it's determined anyway, then how can you help shape people's personalities if it's already been determined?
Because we're all shaped by our environments and our genes. I mean, the combination of the two. So our conversation right now,
yeah,
it's influencing your mind. It's affecting how you're thinking. To one extent or another, it's going to influence the way that you view things in your world and the decisions that you make. And that's just what's going to happen. And that happens to us every day, every interaction with everybody that we have. So lots of environmental things, the books that we read, the movies that we encounter, all of that influences us. So are there choices? Yes. But here's a little thought exercise. And this is one that Sam Harris did. He had it in one of his books, but he also did it on the podcast too. I want you to think of a movie, just whatever movie pops into your head. Just think of a movie. If free will exists, it's going to exist right here, right? I mean, it has to, because there's just all the movies. You can pick any movie you want. No constraints whatsoever. Just pick a movie and it's in your mind.
Okay.
Okay. Now do it again. Pick another movie.
Okay.
All right. And then pay attention. Do it one more time, but pay attention to how the movie, like the third movie, how does it show up in your mind? Pay attention to the process, the experience itself. Choose a third movie.
Okay.
Okay. Now, what were your three movies?
Hunt for Red October, because we talked about Russia a lot.
Okay.
And the next one was Free Willy, because you talked about free will. And then the third one was just The Matrix, because I think it's probably one of the best movies ever made, and it changed movie making.
Okay. So of all of the movies that you could have chosen, White Christmas, you could have chosen any of a million movies. They're all out there. But your choice was constrained to the movies that you know, right? If you didn't know the movie existed, it's not one that you could choose. So you're already constrained. And when I asked you to pay attention to that experience of choosing the movie, what was that like? Like, where did Matrix come from in your mind? Did you summon it or did it just arrive?
The back left, it came there.
Yeah, it arrived from the back left part of your brain. Right?
Yeah.
So my point is this. You didn't create it. You didn't choose it. It just happened. It just arose, just like every other thought that we have. If you pay attention, I don't know if meditation is something you do, but if it is, while meditating, thoughts are inevitable. They're going to come into your mind. But if you truly tune into how those thoughts show up, we don't choose them. They choose us. They arrive and then they go away. They're short. They're ephemeral. They don't last very long. And in this situation with the movies just popped into your mind. Now, what was it that triggered those movies? I don't know. You gave a couple reasons. We talked about Russia. Maybe that was why Hunt for Red October came in. Talked about Free Will. Maybe that triggered Free Willy. I don't know. That certainly seems plausible. But at the end of the day, you don't know why exactly it was that those came up. And even if it was for the reasons you said, that gets into what I was talking about before, which is the influence of the environment on us in ways that we don't even understand. So had we not talked about Russia, had we not talked about free will, it's very possible, likely even, that if I asked you the same question, name three movies, you would name at least two different ones. The Matrix might have still come in from the back left, but the other movies might have been different. So that's all I'm saying is that it's a complicated thing, and it is sometimes it blows my mind. I really have to read stuff over and over again. I have to think about it a lot. Intuitively, like you said, it seems like we have free will. But if you really look at the science of it, the physics of how the universe works, the inner cells of our environment or of our bodies, how all of these things work, determinism is the way that seems to make the most sense. And then even from an experiential standpoint, if you're sitting at a restaurant and you're looking at a menu and you could choose steak or you could choose fish and you like both, how are you going to choose between the two? You could sit there for, I don't know, an hour and go back and forth. But at the end of the day, you're going to pick one and you don't know why. It is a choice. It is a free choice. But you don't know why you ultimately chose the one that you did. And the deterministic argument would be because you didn't. Conditions were set in your brain at that moment for you to choose this, and you couldn't have chosen otherwise.
It sounds like the nature versus nurture argument. And I kind of feel like in a perspective that you just disproved the deterministic viewpoint, because you're saying like everything's been determined in your brain. And you just told me when I picked those three movies that because we talked about Russia, that maybe that's why I chose that, because of us talking about free will, I chose that. And then Matrix, just because it's one of my favorite movies of all time. That's experiential. That's the nurture environment. Then you're saying the nature environment is the one that made the decision for me.
It's not nature nurture. I mean, well, it is both. Our genes do play a role in how we view the world and how we think and the processing of information and how we perceive, you know, how good our eyesight is, how well we smell, et cetera. Our genes play a role in all of that. But then the nurture part, the environment that we encounter, and I told you just a little bit ago, like our conversation was changing your brain. Well, there was evidence of it because we talked about things. Your brain, neuroplasticity took over. Your brain rewired itself. Priming took over. Priming is this idea that if you talk about certain areas just sort of tangentially, that our brains are primed to think of other solutions or to have other things come into our attention from those same areas much more easily. There are some interesting examples of that, but they're not coming to mind right now. But priming and environment, those are two things that just got demonstrated with this. But what it was is you didn't demonstrate free will. All you demonstrated was that your brain fired in such a way as to make it clear that the conditions existed for this movie to pop into your mind. That was it. And it couldn't have been otherwise. Given all of the electrons and positions of all of the atoms that are happening in your mind and the connections with these neurons and the wiring of your brain, it could not have been otherwise. You could not have had another movie pop into your mind in that moment other than the one that did. So how is that free will? If you couldn't have had another movie pop into your mind, that's the point.
Maybe I just don't understand then the concept of deterministic, because of choices, there's still a conscious of which movies I wanted to choose. It's just a consciousness. It wasn't like I was predetermined to pick those movies. I had a choice. So with a choice is free will.
No, you weren't predetermined, but you didn't have a choice.
I totally have a choice.
You sort of had a choice. I mean, you had all the movies to choose from, but the ones that actually entered your mind, that actually came into your awareness, were the ones that came into your awareness. Why did they come into your awareness? Why didn't Star Wars come into your awareness? Why didn't Superman come into your awareness? I don't know. You don't either, because you're aware of both of those movies. They could have come into your awareness, but they didn't, because the conditions in your mind were such that Free Willy and Matrix and Hunt for Red October came into your mind. I know, man. It blows my mind, too. I don't have it all figured out, but it's an interesting discussion to have.
It really is. But I think I just need a deeper understanding of what deterministic means and how it's defined. It seems like if you have a consciousness and a choice between two things, the steak and the fish, if you have a choice there, you're right. I don't know why you choose one or the other, but there's still a choice there. And so if there's a choice...
But there isn't a choice.
There is a choice. I could either say, hey, I like your beard, or I could say, you know, maybe I won't mention his beard because it really looks awful and old. There's a choice there because I value you as a friend and I don't want to make you feel bad. And your beard does not look bad. It actually looks majestic. I have a choice, though, to say, hey, dude, your beard's looking nice. I just don't buy into, I don't know it enough to understand at what point in the thought process you say I don't have a choice.
Well, you can call it a choice because you're right. You could have gone left or right, but ultimately you went one way or the other. And that's the point at which free will disappears.
It's just semantics. I think it's just twisting the understanding of the thought process.
No, because you have to pick. Like, you have to pick, am I going to go left or am I going to go right? At the moment when that choice exists, yes, you can do either one. That is a choice. But once you decide, then you've decided and you don't know why you decided and you don't know why it took you so long to decide. Why didn't you decide earlier? Why didn't it take you longer to decide? You don't know that either. That's the determinism part. It's cause and effect through all of the different parts.
I'm just not buying it.
You don't have to, brother. A lot of other people don't too. It is absolutely a controversial thing. There are three different types of arguments that typically go into the discussions about free will. One is determinism, one is compatibilism, and one is libertarianism. And it seems like these days, very, very few philosophers talking about free will argue for libertarianism. And libertarianism is really free will the way that we typically think about it, which is I come to a crossroads, I could go left or right, and I truly can go left or right. This isn't a decision that absolutely I can make that's influenced not at all by anything around me or within me. It's a free choice and I can make that choice. But not very many people argue that. The determinism part is what I just suggested, which is everything is cause and effect from quantum level up through the universe. It's all cause and effect. And if we understood all of the different variables at any given time that are influencing us in this moment, this specific moment, then we would absolutely be able to predict what we're going to say, what we're going to do. We would just know that because of the cause and effect. The compatibilists, I don't really even understand their argument. They don't agree with the libertarianists in that we absolutely have free will, but they don't agree with the determinists completely either. They sort of try to skirt the thing by saying, yes, there is determinism, but it doesn't really matter because our experience of the world is such that we do believe we have a choice. And so it makes sense to think about choices as choice, to think about free will as free will. They sort of seem to, and again, I could be getting this completely wrong. Somebody who's listening that knows more about this than I do, send me something if I'm screwing it up. But they seem to acknowledge determinists' case that the world is cause and effect. But they don't think that that's a useful way of looking at the world because it's not compatible with the experiences that we have on a day-to-day basis and how we live our lives and how we interact with other people. Those are the three different ways that free will typically is talked about.
I can see how libertarian and deterministic can actually work hand in hand. And that's what compatibilism is. Because it's right. What's the point of deciphering determinism if that's not our experience with it? So when you said compatibilism, I'm like, yeah, okay, I see that. Really comes down to there's not one theory of experience. Can't say, oh, the whole world is this, because as you and I always talk about, it's not. There's not one way of how things happen or how we decide things or our experience with it or the choices that we have, the complexities. And I can see how determinism and libertarianism kind of goes hand in hand with the compatibilist down in the middle. We are, say, predetermined to make certain choices, but we still have a consciousness that throws in a wrench in that plan. We end up making a choice and they feel like choices. However, we are predisposed to make certain choices a certain way. They both work hand in hand.
Yeah, the compatibilist would agree with you that our experience is such that we believe that we are making choices.
And we are.
We aren't.
We are.
We aren't.
We are. We are.
We aren't, because the determinist, and this is their argument, the compatibilist's argument, as I understand it, they understand that we live in a cause and effect world. All the evidence that we have from science, that's how it works. Now, the problem is we don't have access to, we can't know all of the different variables that are influencing things or affecting things in any given moment. There are just too many. There are just way too many. We can't know them all. But the idea is that if we did know them all, they would all work the same way the rest of the universe does, in a cause and effect manner. And because we know all of the variables and we understand the antecedents and what led up to what's happening in terms of the cause and effect, we would be able to predict what will happen, whether we go left or right. We would be able to do that, because the conditions that exist in any given moment in the universe, within our minds, within our brains, all of that is just physics.
It sounds unknowable, and it just sounds like another religion that's based on faith. If we knew all of it, then we could predict, but there's no way to ever know all of it.
It's not that we don't know the variables, that the variables exist. It's that we don't know the values of all of the variables. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know the chemical compounds and how many levels of whatever are going on in your brain at any given moment. You don't either.
No.
But if you did, that would be one variable that for sure is influencing the way that you think and what you do.
Agreed.
So you don't know what it is, but you know that the variable exists and that it is affecting things. That's my point, is it's not that we don't know that these variables exist, although it's possible that we don't know all of them. Say it's probable that we don't know all of the variables. Might be some out there we haven't discovered. But the point is that there are many variables, and if we did understand what they all were and knew the values of each of those variables, that we could then predict just because of how the universe works. And it's not that there's no evidence. There's all the evidence. That's the whole point. The evidence we have right now from science, from physics, points to this cause and effect relationship as being how the universe operates. And it's how we operate. So that's the argument for no free will. Even though we experience, our experience leads us to believe that we have these choices, ultimately we don't. And we can feel that in the exercise that you did. Those movies just popped into your head. You didn't choose them. They just showed up. They just showed up. So.
Well, there it is then.
There it is. Free will.
And that ended our discussion for the time about whether or not we have free will. Clearly, we need to discuss this more. We definitely do, because Brian and I do not see eye to eye. And I think there's more discussion that should happen and will in the future. But my free will choice right now is to take us out of here. So thank you so much for listening to Poking Holes in Blinders. You can find us on our website, pokingholesinblinders.org, also on iTunes and Spotify. And when we have a new episode, we usually do a Facebook post. Hey, Brian, take us out of here.
Yeah, we definitely will talk about this again. Free will is such a fun topic, and it's just so deep and nuanced that I look forward to more discussions in the future. As for now, if you'd like to learn more about performance psychology and how that could benefit you or your family members, friends, check me out at beginagainperformancepsychology.com. And you can also take a look at my book. It is Begin Again, Utilize the Wisdom of Eastern and Western Ideologies to Achieve Your Full Potential. That's available on Amazon. And yeah, we'll see you all next time. Thanks for listening.